recorded.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your love and compassion toward us. Thank you for your blessings and interventions. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for giving us victory over the enemy, over righteousness, and over all the works of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for turning our shame into glory. Thank you for turning our darkness into light. Thank you for turning our sorrows into great joy. Be thou glorified forever. In Jesus' name, we thank you for releasing us from every bondage, every captivity, and every limitation. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for revealing to us your truth so that we can have complete freedom. Thank you for quickening us. Thank you for quickening us in our inner man so that we'll become alive unto you. Thank you, Father. We are grateful for all that you have purposed on this platform. Before now, we are grateful for how these things change our lives. Thank you, Father. I am asking, O Lord, that what you'll be teaching your people tonight will also change their lives. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that your heart will not be hardened against the word of God. That as you hear the word of God, you will humble yourself and that you will obey God's word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name. We are free. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we stopped in our teachings on backsliding. Open your Bibles to... Okay, before you open your Bibles, let me tell you the topics we're going to be looking at. So we should look at two topics tonight. Number one, hardening heart to the truth. Hardening heart to the truth. When your heart is hard towards the truth, that is the meaning of that topic. Hardening heart to the truth. Then the second one is double-mindedness and wavering. Double-mindedness and wavering. And these are signs that you are losing faith. These are signs that you are backsliding. Hardening heart to the truth. Open your Bibles to Matthew 13, verse 15. Matthew 13, 15. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Yeah. Let me read verse 10 for you. The same Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now, in verse 13, he started to tell them the reason why he was speaking to them in parables. In verse 13, he said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Do you know what that is? Jesus was saying that something has happened to these people, and whatever happened to them, they made it happen to them. And that is why I speak to them in parables. Yeah, because if I speak to them plainly as it is, they still will not understand. They still will not believe. And they still will not obey. Yeah, and he said, Prophet Isaiah already prophesied about these people. Yeah, so he said that their ears are dull of hearing. Yeah, in verse 15. And then he said their heart is waxed gross. Yeah, what does it mean for heart to wax gross? Let me see how New Living Translation puts it. What does it mean for someone's heart to wax gross? Matthew 13, 15. Yeah, New Living New Living Translation put it this way, for the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their heart cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So, when your heart is waxed gross, that means your heart is hardened. Yeah. When your heart is waxed gross, that is, let's say something like a wax suddenly starts to grow in your heart. And suddenly start to solidify inside your heart. To the point that it's now spreading to all your heart, and then your heart is now so hard like a stone. Yeah, that is it. Yeah, so Jesus said, I speak to these people in parables because their heart is hardened. And they are the ones that hardened their heart. And I'm still going to explain how you can harden your heart. And maybe I've explained it here before. Yeah. And then Jesus went further to say they are dull of hearing. So they are tired of hearing the truth. Yeah, they feel like we have been hearing this, we have been hearing this all the time. What's so special in it? We've been hearing about heaven, we've been hearing about hell. We've been hearing about Satan, demons, sin, repentance, salvation, holiness, righteousness. We've been hearing about all these things. Tell us something new. I pray you will not be like such people. Yeah, tell us something new. Yeah, so if you start to feel like, if you start to feel, what's the English they use? I think they use over familiarity. I think that's the English. Yeah, if you start to feel over familiar with God's word, start to feel too familiar with the truth, too familiar with Jesus, with God. And then you feel like all these things, I know them already. Yeah, I know the Bible. I know everything. In fact, I've finished the Bible more than 15 times. Yeah, now I'm looking for something new, something more. If you start to behave like that or sound like that, then you're backslidden. Yeah, and you need to repent. Yeah, you have backslidden because whatever you know now about God, about Jesus, about the Bible is too little to what you are yet to know. So even the same Bible you think you know, you still don't know, because there is so much knowledge that the Spirit of God would love to show you from the same Bible you think you have read several times. Yeah, or the same Bible you think you have finished reading several times. Yeah, so don't be like people feel like they know everything. There are people that don't join these Bible study classes again because they feel like they know everything. Yeah, the man of God is talking about backsliding. I know everything about backsliding. Yeah. Yeah, but they don't know that there may be things we'll mention here that they don't yet know about the same topic. Yeah. So when it comes to spiritual things, you have to be careful with your heart. You have to be careful with how your heart responds and reacts to spiritual things, because that can shut you out of spiritual growth. Yeah, if the way your heart responds to spiritual things is not correct, it can put a limitation on your spiritual life, and you will never be able to know God, and you will never be able to grow spiritually, because your heart is now darkened. Yeah, for instance, there are some things in the Bible that some people don't just feel okay about. Yeah, some things like the gift of speaking in unknown tongues. Yeah, some people just feel like, I don't know what those guys, what those people used to say. I don't believe in that. They just open their mouth and say blah 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 blah. I don't believe in that. That's rubbish. Yeah, so they don't know that. They are shocking themselves. There was something about the Holy I believe you know that the Holy Spirit doesn't forgive. Maybe you have not read it in the scriptures. Well, Jesus himself said it. The Holy Spirit don't forgive. It's only Jesus that forgives. The Holy Spirit does not forgive. Yeah, or maybe I should read it for you, but I believe you have read it, or you must have seen it in the scripture, that the Holy Ghost doesn't forgive. Yeah, Jesus talked about this sin against the Holy Spirit, that it cannot be forgiven. Yeah. Let me see if I can bring in, if I can bring down the verse for you. Okay. Maybe later. Yeah. Jesus made that statement when they were accusing him that he's using the spirit of Beelzebub to cast out devils. Yeah, they accused him that he's using the spirit of the devil to cast out devils. And then he told them that whatever they say against him can actually be forgiven. But whatever they do against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. Yeah. Okay, I think I've found it. Matthew 1. Matthew 12, and then let me read let me first read verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." So Jesus was telling them that your children will your children will in the future believe in my gospel, and they will also have power to drive out demons. So he was prophesying to them that your children will be your judges. Yeah, but that is not actually where we are going. Now, in verse 28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. 29, "Or else, how can one enter into it?" Okay, let me just leave that. So let me go to 31. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Can you see that? Yeah. Let me read verse 32. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Can you say that this is a very serious matter? Yeah. Oh, you don't know, it's very serious. Imagine Jesus saying that anyone that speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven. I mean, that sin will not be forgiven, both in this world and in the world to come. And then many people will always ask that, then how do I know this sin? The sin against the Holy Ghost. Yeah, how do I know that this particular sin is a sin against the Holy Ghost? Well, I think Jesus I'll still answer your question. I can see a question here. Yeah. So as I was saying, I think Jesus already gave the answer. It's just that people don't want to look at that as the answer. Jesus already gave the answer, even in that particular passage. We can see the sins against the Holy Ghost. We can see one of the sins against the Holy Ghost. And what was it? They were bad-mouthing the operations of the Spirit of God. Yeah. they were despising the operations of God's Spirit. They were saying, this is not God. This is not this deliverance. This deliverance happening is not from God. Yeah. They were saying, this is not the move of God. What is happening here is just the prince of the devils that is doing what you guys are saying here. Yeah. So that is one of the things against the Holy Ghost. I hope you get it now. Yeah, that is one of the things against the Holy Ghost. When you despise the works of the Holy Ghost, or you commonize it. Yeah, you despise it. You commonize it. Yeah, and then you speak against it. You know, like saying, all these things is just rubbish. Yeah, the people will just open their mouth and they will be saying blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. What are they even saying? I don't even understand what they're saying. That is rubbish. That is nonsense. So once you are doing that, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. Yeah, especially when it is the Holy Ghost that is making those people to do that. So before you just speak anything against spiritual manifestations in the lives of Christians or in the church, be sure that you are sure that what those people are doing is not from the Holy Spirit. Before you say anything against what Christian believers are doing, yeah, or what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of Christians and through their lives, before you say anything against such things, be sure that you are sure that what those believers or Christians are doing is not actually from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so if it is not the Holy Spirit making them to speak those utterances, then you may be correct. Yeah, by saying, I don't believe what they are saying. What they are saying is not from God. Yeah, you may be right. If you are sure that it is not the Holy Spirit that is making them to say such utterances. But if you are not sure, just keep your mouth shut. Yeah, if you are not sure, just keep your mouth shut. Yeah, because if you speak a word against the move and manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the earth, you are going to be judged. There will be no forgiveness. Yeah, so when Jesus said the sin against the Holy Ghost has no forgiveness, in other words, he's saying that you get judged and you can't, and that judgment cannot be reversed. Yeah, you get judged and there will be no mercy for the judgment to be cancelled. Now, one of the judgments that people gain when they one of the judgments that people gain when they sin against the Holy Spirit is hardness of heart. Yeah, it is hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is one of the judgments that people gain when they sin against the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will harden their heart against God. Like those people's hearts were hardened in Matthew 13. The Holy Spirit will harden, is going to harden their heart against God. Now, what it means when your heart is hardened against God is that you will not be able to love God. You will not be able to please God. You will not be able to do the will of God. Yeah, even if you try to, you will just not be able. Yeah, you will not be able to connect with God. And hardness of heart will make you to love unrighteousness more. It will make you to love sin more. Yeah, it will make you to become more carnal. And if you make attempt to draw closer to God, it will not happen. It's more like your spirit has been blocked against God. Yeah, because you have demonstrated that you don't actually want God. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what actually gives hardness of heart, pastor. Yeah. What gives hardness of heart, pastor? What actually gives hardness of heart, pastor, is willful sin. Willful sin. When you know that something is a sin, and you deliberately and intentionally do it. Yeah, you know that something is a sin, and you deliberately and intentionally do it. So the more you commit willful sin, the more your heart gets hardened. Now, you may think, nothing is happening to my heart. I'm okay. I'm okay with God. Yeah, but the Lord is actually happening to your heart. And it is usually confirmed when you no longer care about how God feels concerning your lifestyle. You no longer care about what God is saying concerning your actions and choices and attitudes. Yeah. And you no longer want to obey the word of God. So that's how you start to confirm that your heart is actually hardened against God. Yeah. So the only solution to that is to stop willful sin. yeah, and that is if you can stop. Yeah, because there's a way your heart will be hardened. I mean, there's a level the hardness in your heart will reach that even if you want to stop, you won't be able to stop anymore. I pity people that joke with God and with the things of God. Yeah, I really pity them because they don't really know God, especially His judgment. Yeah, they don't know His judgment. Yeah, some people will say, oh, let me just do this thing and then I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Well, there's no forgiveness for that kind of thing. Because it was intentional. It was willful. So, which means you never repented. You're just playing religion. So, it's religion. When people say, I'm going to sin now. And then, after I'm done doing this sin, I will now ask for forgiveness. They are just playing religion. They're just deceiving themselves. Because there's no forgiveness for that type of sin. Yeah. There is forgiveness for your sins when you have repented. When you have turned away from that sin. Then you now ask for forgiveness. Then you get forgiveness. But you have not repented. But you're saying, I'll just do it and then ask for forgiveness. There's no forgiveness for that. Because repentance is a change of heart. Yeah. So when you change your heart, you change your attitude. Then forgiveness will come. But when you still don't want to let go of your wrong lifestyle, there will not be forgiveness. Even if you ask for forgiveness, I hope you get it. Yeah, so what brings hardness of heart faster is willful sin. Yeah, and then I said earlier that things against the Holy Spirit also gives hardness of heart. And that one, you may not even be able to repent. Because things, there's no forgiveness for sins against the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit hardens your heart, then that's all for you. Because it's the same Holy Spirit that would remove the hardness. But now, let's say you hardened your heart, there's still hope for you. Perhaps. Depending on the level of the hardness in your heart. But if God Himself, or if the Holy Spirit Himself hardened your heart, then there's no hope for you. Because at that time, you start to love sin more. You start to love unrighteousness more. And you will not be able to repent. Even if you want to repent, you will not be able to. So, and at that state, that level, that state of heart, is where those guys in Matthew 13, verse 15, have reached that state of heart. Their hearts have reached that level where God Himself have hardened their heart. So who knows what they did? Maybe they have been willfully sinning for a very long time. And they have rejected the fear of God for a very long time. Then God now said, all right, since you people want to enjoy sin, then I'm going to help you. So what I'm going to do is, I'll make you enjoy this sin more. So that is when God adds into your heart. And I'm going to make sure that you will never be able to repent. That is when God hardens the heart of a man. So that is why if you are committing sin intentionally, willfully, after knowing that it is a sin. I mean, before knowing, you commit sins. After you have known that what you're about to do is a sin, you need to stop before it will be too late for you. Yeah, because what will happen next is that God Himself will now harden your heart. Yeah, but it's going to start by you first. When you start to sin willfully, willful things is deliberately offending God. When you know that God will be offending with your actions, and you still went ahead to do that. It's even from when you are weak and you can't find strength. Yeah, you can't find strength to overcome the temptation. Or you were deceived to commit the sin. Or you were careless. Yeah, sorry that you have done this sin before you realize that I have offended God. Now it is different. Yeah. When you are so weak and you are so careless that you fail to go into prayer immediately to get strength from God to overcome sin or temptations. Yeah, and then you eventually did the sin. Yeah, that one is different from when you have the strength, you know that you have the strength to not do the sin. And as a matter of fact, you know that it is a sin. And then you still went ahead to do it, to commit it. That is willful sin. And the more you commit willful sins, the more you harden your heart by yourself. And when you continue to do that for a long time, then God will now help you. God will help you by hardening your heart by Himself. Yeah, it's not like God saying that since this is what you want to do, then let me help you do it more so that you can get destroyed faster. So I pray that you will not get to the level where God Himself will harden your heart. In Jesus' name. I pray you would have repented before you get to that level. So now, since I mentioned about sins against the Holy Spirit, let me also tell you other things that are sins against the Holy Spirit. When you refuse to obey the leadings of the Holy Spirit, yeah, the Holy Spirit led you to do something, and you refused to obey is actually a sin against the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you know, there are things that the Holy Spirit can lead you to do. You know, the Word of God leads on. But then the Holy Spirit also leads on in our daily life. For instance, maybe you are in a public vehicle or a public transport. You are in a bus, a public bus, like those public bus where you pay. You pay some money, you tell them, I'm going to this particular environment or this particular location. Can you take me there? And they tell you to enter. Yeah, so let's say you're in a public bus. And as you entered, the Holy Spirit said, open your mouth and preach to these people. Yeah, just preach to everyone in this bus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about heaven. Tell them about hell. And tell them to repent. And then you did not do it. That is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That is sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, you may be asking, then, what is the penalty for that? Since the sin against the Holy Spirit is without forgiveness, then what will be the penalty for that? Well, I don't know. I am not the Holy Spirit. I don't know the penalty, but I can suggest maybe the Holy Spirit may not tell you to do that again. Yeah. And then maybe the Holy Spirit will disqualify you for great things he wants to use you to do and look for someone else. I don't know, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is so deep, so we may not really know how he executes his judgment. So that is why, don't even think about what will be the penalty. You just obey him. Yeah, so Jesus can forgive you, but the Holy Spirit will do his judgment, and that is it. Now, the Holy Spirit can judge you, and you will still make heaven. Because the judgment of the Holy Spirit is very specific. Let's say, for instance, the Holy Spirit gave you an instruction to give. He led you to give, and you refused. The judgment can be that throughout your life on earth, you will never be able to have certain amount of money. That could be the judgment. Like some people that they say paying tithe is the whole testament. We have not been commanded to do that in the New Testament. Fine. His whole testament, fine, but do you know what you have been commanded to give in the New Testament? If paying time is whole testament, do you know what we have been commanded to give in the New Testament? We have been commanded to give more than tithe in the New Testament. So if the Holy Spirit is still approving, which he is, the Holy Spirit still approves tithe, though he's in the Old Testament. Though the commandment was given in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit still approving. now in the New Testament. And then if the Holy Spirit still approving, it's because the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you to give, and to be, he's trying to make sure that you are blessed in your finances. Because what we have been commanding to give in the New Testament is everything. Yeah. What we have been commanded to give in the New Testament is not 10%, is 100%. Is everything. Yeah. Is everything. So which means you are to have God which part of your income is yours. Yeah, because the moment you surrender all your life to Jesus, it includes all your possessions, all your properties. It includes all your properties, possessions, your income. You surrendered all at the same time. You know, there is this, I don't know what the lawyers call it. Yeah, I don't know, but it's part of their codes of law, or whatever they used to read. You know, lawyers, they have what they read, and then they use those details to defend someone or go against someone. Now, one of those statements says that anyone who owns a land, yeah, by legal, anyone who legally owns a land also owns everything that is on that land and underneath that land. Yeah, anyone who have paid the total price for a landed property, owns everything that is on that land and under that land. So whether they are trees or vegetation or plantations, that person owns all. Now, the same thing with you giving your life to Jesus. So once Jesus owns you, he owns everything that you have, and that you will have. Do you get that? Yeah. If you're saying, oh, tithe is just 10%, is just Old Testament, fine, is Old Testament, then do you have an idea of what we have to give in the New Testament? It's far beyond the Old Testament. Far, far beyond. So we have to give everything. So which means that it is Jesus that decides which of your money is yours and which of your properties or possessions is yours. It is Jesus that decides that, not you. So which means Jesus can place a demand on whatever thing you have. And if you refuse to give that to Jesus, you are sinned and you are going to hell. It's as simple as that. And that is why people that are not paying tithes are going to hell, because tithe is just like the Holy Spirit trying to kind of plead for those people in heaven and say, God, if they pay tithe, still forgive them. Because the Holy Spirit knows that they are supposed to pay more than 10%. But then the Holy Spirit is telling God that if they still pay tithe, forgive them. And then these same people, they are saying, oh, tithe is Old Testament. And then the intercession of the Holy Spirit failed. And they went to hell. Yeah. So now, let's say the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to give you other examples of sinning against the Holy Spirit. And how the judgment that comes from the Holy Spirit may not actually mean that you will go to hell, especially if you repent later. Yeah. For instance, if the Holy Spirit says give and you refused, what happens is that the Holy Spirit can place a limit on how much you will have till you die. So some people who are suffering financial poverty, they think it's witches and wizards or some dark power causing it. They don't know that it's the Holy Spirit that have placed a limit, which is like a curse on their finances. Yeah, because several times it tells them to give, they refuse. And then said, all right, so the judgment of the Holy Spirit is always specific and set. So which means that because you have disobeyed, the judgment remained. Now, if you repent and Jesus forgives you, then the Holy Spirit can start a new chapter with you. Yeah. But all the limitation will still be there until you prove to heaven that you have actually repented. Then you cannot start to bless you again. What I mean is that all the blessings you are supposed to have gotten before the time you repented, you can't have those blessings again because the judgment of the Holy Spirit is irreversible. But now, let's say you repent thereafter and Jesus forgives you, and then you start to do what the Holy Spirit told you to do before, then He cannot start afresh with you. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that all the blessings that were blocked by the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean they will come back. Yeah, but definitely it will bless you, but all the opportunities and the blessings and the helps and the favors that your giving was supposed to bring upon your life, you can't get them again. But then you can get new opportunities, new blessings, new favors. I hope you get my point. So the judgment of the Holy Spirit is usually reversible. Yeah. So if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, make sure you do it. Because it may bring a judgment that could waste many years of your life. Yeah. So that isn't about. So there are many things about sinning against the Holy Spirit. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit is involved in our daily life. Yeah, and He reacts to everything we do. Yeah. For instance, there are some people that the Holy Spirit tells them, don't go out today. And they feel like, what voice is that? I have somebody very important that I need to meet today. And they left. And then they got accident. And one of their legs got broken. But the Holy Spirit said, don't go out. But they ignored the voice of the Holy Spirit and they went out and they got the accident. And now they saw that They saw that a preacher is holding a crusade, healing crusade, or healing meeting somewhere. And then they quickly rushed to that place and said, oh, I'm trusting that God is going to heal me. Yeah. Though the accident was out of disobedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And now they are saying, I'm praying that God will heal me. And then they went for that program and nothing happened to them. They did not get healed. Why? Because the judgment of the Holy Spirit cannot be reversed. Yeah. Because that their legs that got broken or fractured was the judgment from the Holy Spirit, because they refused to obey. Yeah, I know some of you may not agree with what I'm saying. Yeah, but I'm telling you that I'm telling you how God is to be feared. Yeah, how God, or why God is to be feared. Yeah. And some of them, after many years, they've been praying for healing. They still never got it. Because the sickness or the accident or the injury was as a result of disobedience to the Holy Spirit. Some people, the Holy Spirit took one of their eyes because they refused to obey Him. And up to now, they are still blind. They still have only one eye. Yeah. The eye the Holy Spirit took is still there, dead, blind. And they've prayed for, they've prayed that God should open the eyes. And all these years, God did not open it. I don't know if you're getting my point. Yeah, so, we should be very careful in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, be very careful. I know some of you may say, what if I pray and fast very well? If the Holy Spirit doesn't forgive, then Jesus can forgive, or God can forgive and He can heal me. Well, I'm just telling you the Bible. So God can do anything, yes, but I'm just telling you that this is what happens when the Holy Spirit judges. The judgment is always irreversible. Though it doesn't mean you may not make heaven. Yeah, but the judgment will remain. Yeah, the judgment will remain. Yeah, so if you think, no, God is merciful, He's going to reverse the judgment. Well, I don't know about that. But what I know is what I'm saying. Yeah, so I think you should not be thinking like that. You shouldn't be thinking about, what if He changes His mind? What if I fast and pray for so long? Yeah, He now comes and forgive me and heal me. I don't think that is what you should be thinking about. I think what you should be thinking about is you repenting from sinning against the Holy Spirit one more time or again. Yeah. I pray that the Holy Spirit give you more understanding. In Jesus' name. Yeah. I think I've spent so much talking on that particular verse, whereas we still have more to talk about. Now let's move to the second verse or second verses. Ephesians 4 verse 18 to 19. Ephesians 4 18 to 19. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Apostle Paul was talking about the state of some people. Their understanding is so darkened, and then they have been cut off from the life of God. So these people, they have no connection with eternal life anymore because of their ignorance. Because of the blindness of their heart. Now, the ignorance here is not that these people don't know the truth. The ignorance here is about the fact that they have cut themselves away from the truth because their understanding is now darkened. Yeah, so when your understanding is darkened, you will become ignorant of many things. Because you will not even want to learn. Yeah, you'll be so fixed on those things that you already believe or agree as the truth. Yeah, those things you already believe to be the truth, whereas they are not the truth. And then you already agree with them as the truth, you'll be so blinded by those things, by that understanding. And it will not allow you to know what will really set you free. Yeah, so the problem with false teaching, false doctrine, is the fact that it is able to stop you from finding the true teachings and the true doctrines that will save your soul and take you to heaven. Yeah, so these people, their hearts became blind. So these people, their hearts became blind because their understanding was darkened. So they embraced some knowledge that is of the devil, and they replaced the wrong knowledge with the true, they replaced the true knowledge with the wrong one. Yeah, and because of that, they couldn't know more about Jesus and about God's kingdom. Yeah, and then verse 19. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness is a state where self-control is gone. It's a state where self-control is completely missing. A state of attitude, lifestyle, especially sexual pain. Sexual sin. So they use lasciviousness most times for sexual sins, sexual immorality. Yeah, so those people Paul was referring to, they have lost self-control completely when it comes to lasciviousness. And of course, greediness. Yeah. So meaning that they could even sleep with their children. They could have sex with their own daughters. They could have sex with their own sons. Yeah, that is lasciviousness. Yeah, it's like incontinent, no control. Yeah, no more self-control. And then these people, they will back it up with some teachings. And they also bring the same teachings from the Bible. And they'll say what they are doing is not wrong. Yeah, so... So make sure you don't get to that point where you start to look for some excuses to justify your wrongdoings in the sight of God. And then you think God is going to accept those excuses. God is not going to accept that. God is never going to accept that. There is no excuse for any sin. Yeah, I said it before. There's no excuse for anything. Yeah, because of time, I think we'll stop at this particular topic. I was thinking that we'll be able to... do two topics, but I guess God had a different plan. So we're already done with adding fat to the truth, which was the first topic. The second one was double-mindedness and wavering. And I would like to deal with the second one next week. Now, I'm going to answer the question from our sister, Sister Bjorn. He asked about the account in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, I think. I want all of you to listen attentively so that you can also gain from the answer I would give to that question. So let us look at that Bible passage together. Acts of the Apostles, chapter Okay, is chapter 5, not chapter 4. It's in chapter 5. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. I'm going to focus on the part that really has to do with a question. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man called named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and stepped back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, that is, his wife agreed with that deception, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land whilst it remained? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that had these things. Now, the same thing happened to the wife. The wife also fell down and died. Yeah, because Peter confronted the wife too. Now, if the wife had said, had confessed and said, actually, that was not the price. I and my husband agreed to keep back some price. Some amount from the price we sold the land. The Holy Spirit would have spared the wife. But because the wife would not, in fact, the wife didn't know that the husband had died earlier. Nobody gave her the information. Maybe if she had known, she wouldn't come at all. She would run for her life. Yeah, but she came and Peter confronted her, and she also told her own lie, and the Holy Ghost healed her. Now, your question is that also part of sin? Is that also a sin against the Holy Spirit? Can we call that a sin against the Holy Spirit? And is instant death a judgment that comes from the Holy Spirit? Yeah, actually, instant death can come from the Holy Spirit as a form of judgment. Yeah. But if we are to look at what happened very well, we're going to see that it was a sin against the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to analyze what actually happened in that place, in that Acts chapter 5. Now, number one, there was a there was something the Holy Spirit was doing in the hearts of the people at that time. The people that had properties, the people that are rich among the brethren, they were selling their properties. One of them was Barnabas. They would sell one of their properties, or maybe the only property they had, and then they would bring the money, the full payment. They would bring it to the apostles' feet. Yeah, and the apostles will announce it. And they will say, this person have sold his property and have brought the money so that all of us can use it. Because at that time, I don't know the name they call it. They were having this lifestyle of communion gathering. I think there's a particular English they call it. If I remember how we, I will tell you. Yeah, but what they were doing is that they were making sure that those that are poor among them does not lack anything. Yeah, so those that are rich, they will bring money and they will use it to buy things and they will share among everyone. Yeah, and even those that are rich, they will join them to eat from it so that no one will feel like, oh, this person is richer than I am. This person is more prosperous than I am. So all of them, they were doing communion fellowship, communion or some kind of community fellowship or community gathering. Yeah, and community lifestyle. Yeah, something like that. So, and there was love among them. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit inspired that. And everything was going fine. So some people will go and sell their properties, or some people will bring some amount of money, and they'll say, it's for the church, for the church community. Yeah, whatever food this can buy, and let's give everyone, let's make sure the widows, the orphans, the less privileged, they have food to eat, clothes to wear, and shelter to live. So they were doing that. And everything was going fine until these two people, this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, came in to pollute that system. Yeah, because money carries spirit. I believe you know that. Money carries spirit. And that is why any church must set some rules that would prevent certain money from entering the church pots. Exactly, rules like don't collect random offering. I know many churches, they collect random offering. Yeah, but I don't believe in that. You know what I mean by random offering? Like now that we're having Bible study class online, and then I say there's a link. If you want to give, just follow that link. I say we're going to collect offering now, because we collect offering in every of our meetings. So to drop your own offering, just do this, do that. So follow this link or do this, do that. Those are random offering. Or if it's a physical church, then there's these offering bags or envelopes. They start to pass around, put money there. Yeah, I don't believe in that. Yeah, I'm not saying those that are doing it, they are committing sin. Yeah, but I think it's not a perfect way of dealing with money. Now, because money has spirit. So every church or ministry should set a standard that allows the people to give as the spirit moved them in their heart to give. Now that you just pass offering back, you can make announcements. We need this. And this is the amount it costs. Yeah, you can give announcement. Yeah. But then don't start to pass offering banks. Tell them what is needed. And then let the spirit move in their heart to give what they want to give. So which means that people that the spirit does not want their money, somehow the spirit will block them from giving. Because their money carries another spirit. Now, the money that Ananias and Sapphira was brought carries in another spirit. Do you want to know what that spirit is? That spirit is, number one, lie, the spirit of lie and deception. And number two, spirit of pride. Yeah, they also want to feel good when they announce their name. Yeah, because the apostles would announce anyone that have given. The apostles would announce their names. So they also wanted to feel good. Yeah. So pride, the spirit of pride was inside that money. And the spirit of lie was also inside. Yeah, because now they were saying, this is, like some people will say, this is my tithe. But then if you calculate, that is not actually their tithe. That is a lie. Yeah, because tithe is 10% of your income. There's some people, they would have removed some part of the income. Then they will now do 10% of the rest of the income. Not 10% of all the income. But they have removed some part from the income. Now they now calculate 10% of the rest. And then they come and say, Pastor, this is my time. Pray for me. Well, the pastor may just pray. He doesn't know. But the Holy Spirit will judge that person because the person have lied. So money carries spirit. So some people, they have different motives attached to their giving. That spirit, the spirit connected to their wrong motive, that spirit would possess the money. Yeah, and that spirit will pollute the church or the ministry. Whether they can feel that pollution or not, yeah, the pollution will come in. And that was what the Holy Ghost reacted against during that time. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit was doing something that was very nice. He was tearing up people to bring money, and then they are using the money to take care of everyone, and then nobody's lacking anything in the church, and there were thousands of people. Yeah, and everyone was happy about that. And then this couple came to pollute. And then they want to introduce darkness into that system. That was why the Holy Spirit killed them. Now, you may be asking that, why is the Holy Spirit not killing more people now? Well, maybe he chose not to use that type of judgment. Yeah, but as I said before, every sin against the Holy Spirit brings instant judgment without mercy and without reversal. So the Holy Spirit may not be killing people now, but it doesn't mean those people are not judged already. Yeah, so that act of Ananias and Sapphira was beyond the money. It was about the spirit that they were going to introduce into the church through that money. You know, and you know, that was the first end of church. Because that was the first church that started after Jesus have gone to heaven. So definitely the Holy Spirit was very strict and very strong and very violent. So I believe that was why he used that form of judgment to put fear in them. But I think he's not using the same kind of judgment, but he's still doing the judgment. Yeah, because some people now, they are paying time, they are giving, and yet nothing is working in their lives. They are not getting blessed. They are still suffering. There may be something is wrong with their heart or with their relationship with God. Maybe their motive, their motive concerning their giving, maybe is bad. That was why nothing worked. Yeah, nothing worked in their lives. I hope you understand. Yeah, because some people, they think they can use their money to buy God's favor and God's blessings. Yeah, which is wrong. If your ways are not right with God, you can give and nothing is, and no blessing will come. Yeah. In fact, if an unbeliever gives, God may bless that person. But you that claim to be a believer and you know righteousness, you know the truth, and yet you are not walking in the line of the truth, and then you think you can use your money. Yeah, you are not obeying the truth. And if you can use your money to bribe God, to get blessed by God, God can, because of that wicked intention, not give you any reward or any blessing. Yeah, even though you would do that for another person. Yeah, so God is still judging people that are sinning against the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and mind you, anything you do against God's church, you have also done it against the Holy Spirit, and you have also done it against Jesus. Yeah, so I hope I've answered your question. We are going to stop here. If there are more questions, you can ask on the Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you're so faithful. Thank you for everything that you have opened our eyes to see during this Bible study class. Thank you for teaching us how hardening of heart is equal to backsliding. And thank you for showing us the things that would harden our heart if we do them. Thank you for showing us the kind of attitude and lifestyle that leads to that hardness of heart. Thank you, Father. be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for also showing us what fighting against the Holy Spirit is all about and how to avoid it. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to take heed to these teachings while they still have the chance before it will be too late. Help everyone here to take heed to these teachings and to obey them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that these words you have heard tonight will not stand against you on the day of judgment. You will be obedient to the truth completely in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every issue you have with God and the Holy Ghost, I pray that you receive wisdom to go and resolve those issues with God so that you can receive help and mercy from God in Jesus' name. I pray for you that your relationship with the Holy Spirit will now become pure and perfect, such that the Holy Spirit will in no way place judgment on you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen.